It's time to talk business with Jack Robinson. Hey, Jack.
Morning, Steve.
Jack is editor of the Sacramento Business Journal, and he joins us on Fridays. We learned this week that a new electric car maker is looking to build a factory, and California is in the running. So is Nevada. And this sounds kind of familiar, like a rerun of the bidding war for Tesla's battery plant last year.
It's kind of eerily similar, but there are some differences, too. One is that you may never have heard of this company. It's called Faraday Future. And it seems to be positioning itself as sort of a competitor to Tesla, even with a name reflecting a scientist from decades ago. We don't know who the backers are of the company, but it has something like 300 employees already in Southern California. And it's recruited some execs from Tesla, which suggests that it could be a serious contender. Just like Tesla, it seems to be also playing states off against each other to get a good deal for building a factory.
Of course, Tesla chose the Reno area for its battery gigafactory. Apparently, in some cases, it's cheaper to do business in Nevada. Is that going to put California at a disadvantage?
Likely it will. We do well in certain industries like high-priced technical or creative talent where those talents are needed. But industrial operations like this may make more sense in Nevada. There is already evidence that the Reno area is benefiting from the Tesla plant. At least one supplier has moved from Sacramento that I know of and to be closer to the battery factory, and more could follow. But, you know, if this does turn into a bidding war, a lot will depend on what the states are willing to spend on tax incentives, and that could make the difference.
There's a new idea floating around that could revive the push for a streetcar in Sacramento. In June, voters in downtown and midtown rejected a proposed streetcar financing plan, but now we're hearing about an alternative that could let the project move forward. What's the idea?
So the problem was, you may remember in June, that the property owners who would pay for the streetcar were in favor, but the people who lived in the area weren't sold on it. It didn't get the two-thirds yes vote it needed. So one idea is that the streetcar backers are looking at is creating a what they call a special benefit assessment district for property owners along the route. And if the council approves this idea and property owners supported it, that could generate the funds that they need to get this project started. This idea is appealing in part because we know that property owners are in favor. Also, the vote would only need, in this case, a simple majority. Now, there's no timeline for doing this, and this isn't the only idea under consideration, but it's clear the supporters of the streetcar are serious about getting this deal done.
Hey, what's the latest on that project to overhaul the old Crystal Ice plant in Midtown? I think most people, if they've driven along 16th Street, have probably seen bulldozers and other equipment working at that site at R Street. How's it going?
Things are in the early stages still, but developer Mike Heller is making real progress on the preliminaries. You'll remember that his plan was to turn that historic industrial complex into a retail and office development called Ice Blocks. And workers have widened R Street where it passes the plant and demolished some outbuildings. And a lot of work has been done inside the plant as well. Workers have stripped out a lot of insulation that helped keep the place cool in summer and are starting in on structural repairs. It's really an amazing undertaking. We have photos on the Business Journal website if anyone wants to see what it looks like inside the building right now.
And we'll post a link at our website, capradio.org. We've talked before about plans that Starbucks has to start serving alcohol. Now that the company has started to offer beer and wine in some local outlets, how are customers reacting?
It's interesting. This has been kind of a quiet rollout. Starbucks really makes more of a fuss every year about pumpkin spiced latte than it does about beer and wine. But you're right. It's available in selected Starbucks. And from what I've seen, most customers aren't even aware that this is an option. Sonia Sorich, our Valiant retail writer, tried out what the company calls Starbucks Evenings at a Roseville coffee house recently. And what that meant was, for her, was an $8 glass of Sauvignon Blanc paired with artichoke and goat cheese flatbread. Sonia said nobody else in the place seemed to be ordering wine. So I think the jury's still out on whether this will be a success for Starbucks. I do think the company, though, will take its time in experimenting with this new direction.
All right. Thanks, Jack.
You're welcome, Steve.
That's Jack Robinson, editor of the Sacramento Business Journal. You can hear our previous conversations at capradio.org/business. This is Capital Public Radio.